Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, here comes Colossians chapter 1, 20 to 22. "Having made peace through the blood of his cross." He made peace through the blood of his cross. Say, "Thank you for the blood." I know that sounds crazy. The blood. Oh my goodness, the blood. I told you a few weeks ago when my mom used to run back in meetings and plead the blood over us. She used to go, "What is that all about? The blood." Sounded like a messy, scary movie. But you know what? It is the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that he made peace through the blood of his cross. "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind." Say, "In your mind." See, that's very important because some people think, well, I was an enemy of God. God so loved the world that he gave himself. The enemy part comes in our minds because of guilt and shame and all these things because of the fallen condition passed down to us by our forefather Adam, that brokenness, that fallenness. In our heads, we think that God doesn't like us. It's kind of like, I got to get my act cleaned up so I can go to church and be acceptable to God. That's like saying I got a serious chronic disease, and before I get the doctor to diagnose me, I better get healed of it. Like it's just dumb to think that before I go see a doctor, I better be well. You know what? God came for the lost. He came for the hopeless. He came for people like me. Isn't that good news? You know what? He loves us, and he wants to restore us to our rightful place. So we were enemies in our minds by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you. Come on. How many love Jesus? You know, why did he do all this? So that he could, on his own terms. Not so you could now have the opportunity to behave right, but so that he could, because of what he did, say he did, and say it's done. No more do. It's done. Good. No do in this church. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in Pastor Carl's sight. No, in his sight. When God looks at you, he's like, you are holy. You are holy. And what kind of holiness? The God kind. Not a holiness you've achieved, but God's very own holiness. Because of what he did, he gets to take all of your sin, every disappointment, every bit of brokenness, and he gets to, in exchange, say, here, you're holy, and I'm going to gift to you my holiness and my righteousness. Isn't that good? Blameless and above reproach in his sight. I've got to fly. Say, come on, Pastor. Love this quote, Smith Wigglesworth, "The Holy Spirit never brings condemnation. He always reveals the blood." I just love that quote. You should quote that every day. I mean, the Holy Spirit never, ever brings condemnation. Never. He always reveals the blood. Whenever you feel broken or inadequate or you're not making it, the Holy Spirit will not condemn you. That's the other guy. I know the other guy, the guy on the other team. He always wants to beat you up and cast you down. But the Holy Ghost is always going to say, the blood, plead the blood. I'm screwed up, the blood. I blew it again, the blood. That's why it's Good Friday. It's so good. All right. David Alsobrook, this is one of my favorite quotes about the blood, and I pray you get this. It's so important. It says, "Jesus was cursed on the tree in our place, and he bore our sin in his own body." He bore it in his own body. Very important. Where did he bear it? Where did he bear our sin? In his own body. He did not bear our sin in his blood. It was just as holy on the cross as it ever was. Oh, I don't know about you. That excites me. Excites me. It was just as holy as he offered that sin sacrifice to God. He was covered. Do you see it? The body flooded and filled with the sin of all of mankind. Suddenly, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, that precious, powerful, perfect blood of God himself, it overwhelmed every bit of sin, every bit of brokenness, every bit of disappointment. It was all washed in the blood of God himself. Wow. He offered that. It was covered. Pure, innocent, justifying, redeeming, sanctifying blood, so that he was able to dismiss his spirit to the Father at death. That's why he was able to say, "Father, unto you I now commit my spirit." Because what did he say just before that? It's finished. It's finished. It means complete. Literally, that word, it's finished, also means come forth, new creation. Come forth, creative realm. Everything necessary. Everything has been paid in full. Come forth, new creative realm. Fantastic quote. Good stuff. Andrew Murray, the blood and the spirit always bear witness together. Where the blood is honored in faith and in preaching, the spirit works. How many know what's going on right now, right here? How many know what's happening right here, right now? It's the glory of God. It's the spirit of God at work in every circumstance and situation. Why? Because we're making much of the blood today. Wherever the blood is made much of, it says the Spirit comes. Where the blood is honored in faith or preaching, the Spirit works. He always leads souls to the blood. The Holy Spirit could not be given until the blood was shed. The living bond between Spirit and blood cannot be broken. Hallelujah. True redemption is found exclusively through the blood of Jesus. Jesus. Zivaradavas sendedadavas shekri. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thought I was in India speaking Tamil. That's Jesus is the way, the truth, the life in Tamil. Just in case you're ever held at gunpoint, you can always say, hallelujah. All right. So Scripture teaches that life lies in the blood. The blood, therefore, is the mysterious link between matter and spirit. Certain it is that this mysterious link, which unite these apparently dissimilar things together, and so that the soul can inhabit the body and life can rest in the blood. So you see the divine design of all of mankind, the divine design right from the beginning. It wasn't some random thing that God chose to put life in the blood. He put life in the blood so that because of that, he, the blood of God, God himself could take the sin of the whole world and by his blood, it could be life for life, his life for your life, so that he could say, I give life to whoever I choose to give life. Isn't that good? On his own merit, because he wants to. The whole world can be saved today because it's finished and because it's done. All you have to do is say, I believe that. I believe that. Three words, you ready? I believe that. I believe that what he did on the cross on Good Friday was enough to redeem me once and for all. It's good news. Amen. All right, let's fly, Pastor. Come on. All right. Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, redemption through his blood was the eternal plan. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. Four truths. Going to go through them real quick. Hope you get these in your spirit. How many have been memorizing the sermons week after week? Wow, man, I'm telling you. All right, number one, it's got to be blood. Well, why does it have to be blood? Because God put life in the blood, so we're redeemed through blood. Has to be blood, because life is in the blood. And God said that there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. He established that blood must be shed for there to be not just the forgiveness, but the remission. Remission means blotted out, removed, gone forever. Amen. How many remember that sin you committed yesterday? You remember? Let me remind you. Gone. Blotted out. If ever anybody tries to remind you that, it's not God, it's not the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost always points you to the blood. The blood. The blood, the blood. Without blood, there's no remission. So number one, it has to be the blood. That's why it has to be. Number two, it has to be Jesus' blood. It has to be his blood. Well, why? Why the blood of God? Because his blood is precious and because it is the blood of God. You are redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus. He was without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, and he delivers you completely from every empty way handed down to you from any generation. Once and for all, the blood of Jesus, because it was pure, precious, spotless Lamb of God, his blood qualified to be the blood that redeems you once for all. And the Bible says it was the blood of God, Acts 20:28. The church which is redeemed and purchased by his own blood, the blood of God. So it has to be blood, and it has to be Jesus' blood. Number three, the blood must be shed. So it's not enough to just have blood, that Jesus had blood, but his blood did have to be poured out. So his blood was poured out. So we're going to look really quick, seven places the blood was poured out. Are you ready? All right, seven places. Man, this is exciting. All right. Sweat drops of blood. That's where it all began. It began in Gethsemane when he began to pray. It says, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness on my behalf. He was fully obedient to the Father, and I have fulfilled all righteousness now, because he right there in that sacrifice, in that place where he, literally, Jesus in the garden, you know what he said? He said, not my will, but your will be done. What does that mean? That would have been a redundant, just mute, ridiculous statement if it wasn't possible for Jesus as the man to say, I really don't want to do this. Even Jesus, the man, every place in your life, every place where your will would be in conflict with the Father, every place where you're going like, I'm not so sure I want to do this, every place where you feel like you're contentious against God's purposes, Jesus ran into that wall. And Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus shed blood in that place where you feel like there's a stroke of disobedience in me. I mean, there's a nasty streak in me. He died for that to redeem you and set you free and deliver you from that unwillingness to pursue him. He dealt with that. Those sweat drops of blood declared you righteous no matter what. But I'm really stubborn, Pastor. Plead the blood. What's going to deal with that streak in you? The blood of Jesus. I think I need counseling. Plead the blood. I think I should beat myself up a few more times. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things became new. He sweat drops of blood for you so that you can be the righteous. Number two, second place. You ready? Second place. Here it is. It's coming right now. Stripes. He received 39 lashes in his back. Now, there was a reference in the Journal of Medicine to 39 lashes, yet it was just a reference. It wasn't really necessarily something proven, but for years people have said, you know, the Journal of Medicine said 39 roots of disease, 39 lashes, and it really wasn't necessarily scientifically proven, but it's awesome nonetheless. But there was an experiment in the University of Toronto, and this was in their news, Brendan Frey, December 14th, 2014, this really fresh stuff. They were doing some studies, doing some genetic work with genomes. I don't know anything about this stuff, but I gave you the reference. You can go look it up. But they literally said, when we rank the mutations using our method, striking patterns emerge, revealing 39 novel genes having the potential role in causing autism or other diseases, cancer and other things. They said there's 39 novel genomes that have a potential role of causing there to be disease entering into your world. I thought that was pretty neat, don't you? Now, how do you know? Well, I don't. I don't even know what a novel genome is. I mean, I just read about it. There's 39 roots. He was 39 lashes. It says in his body, he received those lashes. And it says because of his body and what he received in his body, we are healed. We are healed. And this is amazing what they're finding out in these studies. Give me another slide, one more slide. Now, this is the gene myth. Our DNA is not our destiny by Dr. Caroline Leaf. All right, now look at this. This is important stuff. All right, how many paying attention? All right, you can pay attention. You didn't have to pay for breakfast, so you can pay attention. All right. The gene myth, our DNA is not our destiny. She said this. She said it's principally our thoughts that influence those genes, which are active. So when all is said and done, we are very much in control and not victims of our biology. You know what she concluded? She concluded that you're not a victim of your DNA. You can literally change your DNA because there are active genomes which respond and they're voice activated, and you can literally change your world. You are not a victim of anything ever handed down to you, even in the DNA passed down from your parents. Oh, you know, diabetes runs in the family. Not anymore. By his stripes, we were healed. That's not my idea. That's the word of God. And the word of God and science, they start to line up. It's funny, isn't it? A little bit of science will push you away from God. A whole lot of science will bring you right back. Because it's a study of him. It's a study of his creation. But that's all there. You can check the notes online, download it. You can go to those sites. You can read the full articles. But I think it's amazing. By his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. You know, you gotta think right. You gotta declare the right thoughts. It says, as a man thinks, so he is. It doesn't say as a man was born, so he is. It doesn't say as a man was wherever he lives, so he is. It says as a man thinks, so he is. You're not a victim of your biology. You can direct even your biological world, and you can command yourself to be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, how many kids are enjoying the sermon so far? Awesome, that's good. All right, let me move along really fast. We got the next one, the next place where he was beaten and bruised. There's another place, beaten and bruised. You know, that means there's areas where he was beaten and there was inner bleeding. There were inner hidden wounds. How many got some inner bleeding? How many got some inner hidden wounds? How many got some things you've been carrying around for a long time that you've never, ever told anybody? You know what I love about this? He had those wounds for your inner wounds, for those things that you're afraid to even tell anybody, things that you've packed down and you've hidden, and things that you've said, I'll never tell anybody that, and yet that thing nags you. It's like holding a beach ball underwater, and it limits you from being accepted in every way by people and by God, and you're saying, I'll never tell anybody that. Well, you know what? He died, and his blood was shed even for the hidden wounds, even for the things deep inside, and the pains and the hurts and the people who hurt you and things that were done that you think I can never let go of. He's got it covered. He's got it covered. Another crown of thorns. Crown of thorns. Put it on his head. Blood started to flow from the crown of his head. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Having become a curse for us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. See, the crown of thorns represented a curse. Anywhere where there's a curse in your life, you don't have to live under the curse anymore because he became a curse for you. And because of that wound, because of the wounds, the crown of thorns, you can embrace the promise of the Spirit in every area of your life because he became a curse for you. Say amen, even if you don't get it. Amen. Let's go on. I'm moving. Say, Pastor's doing good. All right. Spikes in his hands. Spikes in his hands. You see, I call that priesthood. You see, he made us to be priests and he made us to be kings. See, hands are made for blessing. Now when he felt like I can't do anything good, I can't be used by God. I don't know. I'm happy just to be saved, but I don't know if I can be used by God. See, he got spikes in his hands. Hands are for blessing, and he restores your authority to bless. When he was pierced in his hands, he restored your authority to bless. So that wherever you go, you are the gateway of heaven. You are an access point to everything wonderful and good. And you, when you use your hands now, when you walk into a situation and somebody comes into work and says, man, my back is killing me, you just got to say five words. You ready? Can I pray for you? You ready? Be healed in Jesus' name. Five most powerful words of evangelism. Can I pray for you? And then, bam, the kingdom is released. And it's amazing. You see, he took those nails in his hand to restore your place of authority. He took those spikes in his feet so that you could be restored to dominion. You know, it said every place that your feet will tread says that is the kingdom of God. Every place where you walk, every place. When you walk in the room, the kingdom of God is there. When you walk in the room now because of what Jesus did and you believe him and you're a believer, when you walk in the room, all of the power and majesty is heaven because it says by his blood he redeemed you and he made you to be kings and priests. And because of those nails that went through his feet, he has now redeemed your feet so that whenever you walk into a place, the kingdom of God is here. You don't have to fear a thing. You walk in, when you walk, all of heaven is with you. You are packing to change every circumstance. You ever walked into a place and noticed everything shifted? Like people went, what happened? That's because you're walking, living, breathing, mobile tabernacle of God's glory. Give me another slide. I'm doing good. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. Ha ha. And he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Isn't it amazing that my redemption and my restoration as a king and priest is connected to him having glory and dominion forever? See, him having glory and dominion forever is directly related to my redemption and my restoration to my place to reign and rule in this world. It's a good stuff. The blood positions you in his glory under an open heaven in Christed. You have been in Christed forever. You are reigning and you are ruling. And I got another slide. Hallelujah. I'm way ahead of myself now. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hit me. Number G, a sword in his side. Now his heart was broken so mine can be restored. His heart, literally that sword went right through. We know it went in his heart. We know that there'd been a separation in his heart, that water began to separate. You know, probably enough to kill him happened in Gethsemane. Because that whole aspect of sweating blood meant that his heart was broken. And his heart was broken in Gethsemane. But that sword in the side, his heart was broken so yours can be restored. Betrayals, wounds, all those things. It says, Psalm 69, 20, reproach has broken my heart and I'm full of heaviness. Luke 4, 18, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. See, now because of that brokenness, because of that wound in his side, we can be absolutely restored in every single relationship. The pain of everything that ever hindered you, the pain of every broken relationship can be completely removed and you can be completely healed to bring restoration wherever you go. All right, number four, how many know that was seven and here's four? How many know it's a four-point sermon with several points tucked in? All right, now all of that's good, but none of it means anything if you don't apply it. See, that Jesus' blood was shed 2,000 years ago means nothing today to any of you here unless it's applied. And I told you the absolute truth today, and it is absolutely true, and your freedom is absolutely guaranteed, but it will not manifest in your life unless you apply it. So here's your part, right? So we talk about how the blood is applied. It's applied diffusely. In the old covenant, he said, you take a branch, you take hyssop, and you spray it everywhere. Why? He wanted to say the blood covers everything. There's not a single thing that the blood doesn't deal with. No matter what you're walking in today, the blood covers it all. Then here's another thing, directional. It says, then take the blood. The priest would dip his finger in the blood, and he would direct it personally and directly. Now, not to freak you out, and I know a couple weeks ago I was pointing at you, and I know pointing is rude. But I don't want you to be rude, but I want you to understand that the reason that it's the finger of God is because you might think that the blood might cover everything, but can it penetrate this issue in my life? The blood may cover everything, but will it really specifically touch me? The blood may touch everything, but there's things uniquely in my life that I don't know, will it really touch me? Well, that's where the finger of God comes. And that's where it specifically touches every area of hurt and pain in your life. That's where he specifically comes to you. And he says, yes, you. And the finger of God ministers to every place of brokenness and completely sets you free. A couple more slides and we're going to come to the table. All right, you ready? Luke 11:20, but with the finger of God I cast out devils, with no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew 28:29, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. What does that tell us? The finger of God, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is here to break open and bring you into all truth, to bring you into all freedom, and to bring you into all liberty. So that the blood was shed is great, but it means nothing if you don't apply it today. That means that you've got to say, how do you apply it? Well, give me another slide. Maybe I got that figured out. You have a legal right to the throne of God because of the blood, and the Holy Spirit has a legal right to you because of the blood. But the blood speaks, and the blood is voice activated. So how do you apply the blood? I want to apply the blood. I hear what you said about the blood. I hear all the areas that he covers. He covers everything and specifically. So now how do I apply it then? You apply it by pleading the blood. You do. You apply it just by saying, I plead the blood. If there's a specific area in your life that of pain, of hurt, of brokenness, you say, the blood. Like that's what's so offensive about it, though, is that it's that simple. It's that you have to humbly say that what's broken in me I can't do a thing about, but what I'm simply going to do is I'm going to plead the blood. And that really will bring freedom in your life. All right, I think I got one more verse, and then we're going to come here. Isaiah 43:25-26. I am the one that blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. So he says, by my blood I've dealt with it all, and I've done it for my sake. But then he says, now, for this to work in your life, you have to put me in remembrance. He says, let us plead together. Let us plead together. Declare, speak, and you will be justified. Isn't that amazing? So you've got to speak. So what does that mean? You know, everything necessary for the whole world to be saved took place 2,000 years ago. But for that to be realized in your life right now, you've got to say, I believe that. It says, let's plead together. He says, declare thou that you may be justified. Declare thou, you declare, and you can be justified. Completely justified, which means you are just as if justified, just as if you'd never sinned. So what do you say? Now, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes. Nobody's looking around except me and the three other people that didn't think I was serious about bow your eyes, close your head. Bow your eyes, close your head. Now, I just want you to listen now. I want you to just listen. You know, because none of this that we're doing, none of this whole discussion about the blood means anything unless you apply it. I just want to ask you a question. Did you apply it? Did you personally say, I believe that? For yourself. You didn't get dragged. You can't have your mom's faith, your uncle's faith, somebody else's faith. What about your faith? What do you say about the blood? It says, come on, let's plead together. Come on, declare thou that thou may be justified. So right now, right here, I just want to ask you, is there anyone here who'd say, you know, I've never made that personal. I've never said just for me. Like for me, I believe that. I'm just going to count to three. And if you've never done that, when I count to three, would you put your hand up really high and say, you know what? I need to say that today. And if that's you, I'm going to count to three. And you've never done that before, but today you're going to declare, I believe that. So here it is. You ready? One, two, three. Now just raise your hand. Say, I'm going to plead that today. I'm going to say that. Me, I'm going to agree right now. Just put your hand up really high so I can see it. Jesus. I'd like you all to pray with me, all right? Everybody just pray. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. I believe that what you did it for me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I plead the blood. And I say, I believe that. So come into my life. Fill me with your Spirit. I am justified. My sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that. Now this isn't my table. It's not Impact Church's table. It's the Lord's table. And the Lord wants everybody to come. The Lord says, come. He never says, do. He says, come. How many can come? Come to me. So we're going to hand out these emblems. I got folks going to help me. They're on their way right now. Thank you. Came to bring the sunshine back and to hand out communion on Good Friday. So good.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Let's get a little fun in here. Yeah! Woo! God Almighty died for me. Are you kidding? How amazing is that? How amazing is that? How amazing is that? Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This represents his body. That's what this little wafer is. And you know, it says, do this whenever you gather together to remember. And it's not to remember that he went through a pile of pain, although he did. And it's not to remember, you know, how terrible you were, although you were. But it's to recognize and put in remembrance that I'm justified because I believe that. It's to remember again that I'm free. Because you need to be reminded over and over and over again that I am absolutely, totally free. And God wants you to remember that. And he wants you to remember that he took sin in his body. And by his stripes, you are healed. If you need healing today, right now, in the name of Jesus, plead the blood. In the name of Jesus, say, I believe the word of God. I am healed right now in Jesus' name. Speak to yourself. Say, I speak to that. I speak to this sinus problem right now. Be gone in Jesus' name. You got no authority to be here. By his blood, I've been set free. He took those lashes in his body. He received enough, totally, completely, that I could be totally whole. So I speak wholeness to my body right now. I take this in remembrance of the freedom that was won for me, body, soul, and spirit. I am healed, and I receive it now. So let's eat together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blood that gives me access to your throne. Thank you for the blood that gives me access to fellowship with you. Thank you for the, because of the blood of Jesus, because your blood was legally poured out, Father, you have a legal right to invade me with your spirit, that I have a total, complete relationship with you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the new and living way, for total access to your presence every moment of every day. Thank you for the blood that speaks a better word. Thank you for the blood that declares my righteousness in Jesus' precious name. Blameless and holy in your sight because of the blood of the cross. So I thank you for that. I drink to that and I believe that right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Once again, the cross where you died. Humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again, go there, say. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. And once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Well, just turn to your neighbors and say, that was good. Turn to your next neighbor and say, that was good. What a good day. What an awesome house. What a great family God's blessed me with. Well, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to send you on your way to enjoy this lovely day. Just want you to know Sunday, it's going to be Easter Sunday. It's going to be a service of services. People are going to get healed. There's going to be an absolute breakout of God's presence. It's going to be the most wild service ever on that day in this building ever. It's going to be so amazing. I want you to bring some friends because I know the people who don't know Jesus will be healed. They will come to know him. They will be set free. I'm asking you, just there's going to be opportunities in the next few days. You're going to be just standing somewhere and it's going to come to memory that I could actually invite this person to church. Wow. And bring somebody. Bring someone with you. Come ready to celebrate the resurrection of our great, wonderful Savior in Jesus' name.